Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today. Our passage for today is Luke chapter 11. We have a little introduction to prayer once again. So as you're finding that, here's the introduction.
What is prayer? In many ways, prayer is a simple thing to do. But sometimes we can have a limited view of what prayer actually is. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayer is a means of supplication and making requests to God. It's just that prayer is also more than that. Prayer is both talking to God and having a relationship with Him. Prayer is making yourself available to God and allowing Him to make Himself available to you. Prayer is a way to ask God for provision for tomorrow and a means by which He provides the sustenance we need for today. So we pray not to get our own way, but rather we pray to align ourselves to God's will. We pray not for things that might create independence from God, but rather we pray as an expression of dependence upon God. Yes, God loves to hear our prayers and requests. He listens to them, He delights in them, and He responds to them. It's just that prayer is also where we can confess our sins, praise His goodness, listen to His voice, and be reminded of truth. Prayer isn't just a way to ask for more fruit, but through prayer, we begin to bear more fruit. Prayer isn't just words spoken at specific times during the day. It's living with a mindset that allows God to transform you throughout all of your days. So don't think of prayer as just an activity done before meals or bedtime, but rather, think of prayer as a way of life.
Praying is such an important part of the Christian life, and we're going to talk about that once again today. We have a lot of folks watching online. We have several guests here for the first time in the service, and we're glad you're here today as well. The last several weeks, we've been talking about prayer, the prayer requests of Jesus, clean praying. We've got to be clean for God to respond to our prayers. Comfort praying, we spoke of last time, and today, clear praying. There was a rainstorm. And as I was standing in front of about 19 and 20-year-olds in a college campus, we were getting ready to go out to a local park to conduct a Bible club. In Florida, it can rain in sheets that just really fast, and then it may disappear for a few hours and come back. It's kind of spontaneous like that, it seems. But when it rains, sometimes it just really rains. Well, we had one of those really rainy mornings on that Saturday morning. And as we would gather together, I would go over the game plan. I was the leader of this group of guys, and we would coordinate the activity. We'd go play basketball. I'd send guys out for several blocks to find kids and bring them into the Bible club. Sometimes we'd bring food. We'd have cookouts, and we'd just try to show love to these kids in this community. And it was raining that morning. We had some kind of special event planned for that day, and all these guys were standing there and were sitting in this lobby, rather. And I said, we need a couple of guys to pray because we can't conduct the Bible club in weather like this. And if God wants us to go and share the gospel with these kids, we need to pray that the weather will clear. And so I asked two fellows to pray, and they started to pray. And they took turns praying, and everyone else, would you pray as well as they're praying for the weather to clear? If God wants us to go today, we need the weather to clear. And within 10 minutes, the weather stopped raining. It stopped raining. It cleared up. It was like everything's wet, but it was clear. We were going to a park that had a concrete pad. We could play basketball. We could still walk the streets and go get the kids and bring them in. So I said, let's go. Let's go. So we went, and we conducted the Bible club for about 2 hours. And as soon as we parked the car back on campus, after seeing 30 or 40 kids come to the Bible club and one or two of them trusted Christ for salvation that morning, as soon as we pulled back on the campus, I don't think I even got back to the dorm room yet. It started to rain again. God had answered our prayer. just a couple of days ago, the funeral director. Funeral directors and pastors generally have a pretty good relationship. I have a good relationship with these folks down the streets, and he said, would you pray for good weather? I said, that's a good thing to pray for Saturday. It was good weather on Saturday. God answered that prayer. It was a little windy, but it was good weather. It was a perfect day for the military tributes and for everything that took place yesterday. You've been praying, and God answered your prayers. Isn't that an amazing thing, that God would listen to his feeble children ask? But that's all part of it. Certainly it is. Walter Mueller wrote, he said, prayer is not merely an occasional impulse to which we respond when we are in trouble. Prayer is a life attitude. A life attitude. And certainly that should be the case in our life. Now, if you're in trouble, go cry out to God in prayer. Go for it. Go and pray. We should. I like how one person said, you've heard this before, life is fragile. Handle with prayer. And we certainly need that as well. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. And so great things can be accomplished when we pray to our God. Now, Luke chapter 11 is one of my favorite passages on prayer. And I'm really praying and debating about, there's two other really great passages I'd like to cover, so maybe we'll do that next time. And also we're wanting to look at generations and how our ministry can serve the next generation. But we'll look at this passage here, beginning in verse 11. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then he starts to teach them to pray by saying the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. Then we have an illustration of someone praying with importunity. We'll cover that in just a moment. It means great persistence. And then ultimately his answer to asking and seeking and knocking is, verse 13, the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. If you ask, seek, and knock, here's my response. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Prayer is a way of living, an expression of devotion and dependence in relationship with God. That's what we'll use as our understanding of prayer, a way of living, an expression of devotion. I'm devoted to God, but I'm also vitally depending upon him, and I have this relationship with my God in prayer. This is what prayer certainly is. So teach us to pray. And then the following verses that we'll unpack here today. I'd like you to know that we should have clear prayers. Clear prayers. I'm guilty of this. Are you guilty of this? Bless this and bless that. What's that even mean? Sometimes we'll just say that. It's real general, right? It's not very specific. It's not very pointed. And I think we need to be a little bit more clear than that in our consistent prayers. Now, we want God's blessing in our life. That's what we're asking for. That's what we need. But we can pray more specifically than that per situation, per event, and what's happening in our lives. So let's be clear in prayer. Let's observe, beginning in verse 1, a clear place is so important. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, here's a question for you. Do you have a certain place? Jesus had a certain place. Now, I believe this place is the Mount of Olives. I think it'd be the Garden of Gethsemane, that area there, because Bethsaida, in a previous chapter, he's at Mary and Martha's house, which is just around the mountain, you know, coming around the mountain. It's really just around the mountain at the foot of the Mount of Olives there, less than 2 miles away. So he leaves their house, he goes to a certain place, and often we find him on a mountaintop alone praying, and especially when you get close to the end of his ministry on earth, he's praying in the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. You have all these big olive trees all around. There's probably a rock. There's a big rock over there, and maybe he was on that stone praying. Like on the night of his betrayal, I think it was probably that same location. wherever Judas knew to find him at. And so he had a specific place that he would pray. Do you have a specific place? Now, it could be in your car when you're driving to work. Can you pray while you're driving? I think you should. Before you go anywhere, you should be praying, you know, for safety on the road. We take things for granted. It could be a place in your house, maybe a specific chair that you sit down in, or maybe you kneel somewhere that you have a specific place to pray. Now, this implies to us not just a place, but a time. How many times did his disciples wait for him to finish praying, and then they start talking to him or asking questions, or he starts to teach them? So if you have a place, you do need a time to make sure that you're in that place to be able to practice that prayer. In our mobile society, we're moving all the time, it seems like, but we need to pause to pray. Have a place to pray, maybe a prayer closet, maybe in the kitchen, maybe you're doing something, maybe you're doing some work at the house and it's a place, a workshop, maybe your cubicle at work, wherever you are, you could take some time before everything else and talk to God in prayer. He had a certain place. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I asked. He answered, "You didn't ask." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "Child, my child, why didn't you knock?" I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered, "Why didn't God show me?" He answered me, "But you didn't seek." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. Take some time to pray. Prayer is not learned in the classroom, but in the closet. In fact, the parallel passage is in Matthew, where Jesus starts to talk about, go to your closet to pray. So have a clear place to pray. Number two, we find that there's a clear plan, and he gives that in the model prayer, verses 2-4. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, that means hallowed or holy or special, set apart, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. So what? God's will is in heaven. Let that be done on this earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Perhaps the passage you're more familiar with, or the one that's more often quoted, is in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. And you've heard that quoted. You maybe have that memorized by heart as well. It's more familiar. It has maybe a better rhyme to it than the way that we find it here in Luke. But we need to have a clear plan. God bless this mess. That's not much of a plan, is it? You ever make so many mistakes, or you're sinning all the time, and you're having the consequences of that, and then bless this mess. Well, we need a better plan than that for our prayers. Here's this model prayer. Notice how he acknowledges God. He adores God the Father. He uses a term of affection, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. As a Christian, you are sons and daughters of God, children of God, and we can cry out Abba, Father, as well. It's a term of endearment. Affection, closeness. He worships God the Father. He says, hallowed be thy name. Sacred be your name. Set apart be your name. Not mocked be your name. Holy be your name. He worships the Lord. And then he asks. He starts to ask. He says, give us this day our daily bread. In America, most Americans take for granted that we have food on the table. Now, not everyone in America has enough food. Not everyone has an overabundance, but we have much abundance in this world and in our country for sure. And as he gives this model prayer, he says, give thanks for the bread you're going to eat, the food you're going to eat. Essentially, how we could apply this or understand this is, Lord, would you give me today what I need for today? Lord, would you bless me today with what we need blessed with today? And so he asks, give what is needed for today. And then he mentions forgiveness. And I think this is amazing and so needed in our lives today. Forgive us our sins. So Lord, would you please forgive me? For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Okay, wait a minute. Is that true? Have you forgiven everyone that's ever hurt you? If you have aught against somebody, Jesus said, take care of that before you give anything to God. If you have some kind of hatred or animosity or resentment in your life, listen to this. God will not hear and respond to your prayer. Jesus is assuming here in this prayer that we are forgiven, so we are forgiving others. Therefore, God will hear our prayer. That's what God wants. I mean, he wants us to forgive others. That's what he's expecting. So as part of your prayers, make sure there's no hatred or animosity or resentment, bitterness, because that will affect your prayers. Forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So ask forgiveness for them. If they're indebted to us, means that they did something or something happened or fell out that we have against them, so they're no longer indebted to me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God certainly can answer that prayer. What a model prayer for us to follow. Now, following the idea of this, if you were to outline the prayer of Jesus, it looks like a prayer plan. Here's a couple prayer plans I'd like to share with you, and I hope it'll be an encouragement. Now, some of you got this little booklet, this prayer journal. We have more in the bookstore there. Tom, we got your edition there as well. It should be there. And in this little journal, you could use anything, piece of paper, whatever you like. There's a prayer sample for praying for a lost person. I like that. It's how to pray for someone that they would learn to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Then there's prayers for Mondays. Like on Mondays, here's what I want to pray for. And I'd like to pray for, they suggest praying for tasks needing to be accomplished on Mondays. You know, start of your work week. On Sundays here, it says, pray for your church. Pray for worship services around the world. Some people would pray for all the missionaries around the world. On Tuesdays, it has a section here. Pray for friends and family. Lift them up to God in prayer. Other believers on Wednesday. Pray for those in authority over you. So leaders, local, federal, states. You have spiritual, you know, leaders, people at work that are above you in the workplace. Then ministers and missionaries on Fridays. This is just a sample here. It's a plan. And then Saturdays, pray for people from your heart list. There's a heart list in here. So be friends and family and close people that you're praying that they would trust Christ. That's just an example of how you could pray. There's also the Acts prayer plan. And that's outlined in this little book. A lot of you got this. So it's a good resource and tool to kind of help you put into motion a plan. I'll give you another plan, but here's the Acts plan. And I learned this prayer plan 25 years ago, something like that. Adoration. So start with adoration. What is adoration? I'll just use this great definition in this little booklet here. Adoration is prayer that praises and worships God. And he is fully worthy of all our praise in adoration. We're not necessarily requesting anything from him. We're merely adoring him and honoring him in our hearts. And so you can use this time to talk about God's attributes and give him some worship. Adore, I think, of the term love. I'm going to show some love to God. Lord, thank you for your love for us, and you're the awesome, almighty God, and I adore you, and I love you, and I pause now to worship you and give you the praise of my life. That's adoration. But then we know from past messages, and you know from reading the scriptures, there needs to be confession as well. And confessing your need for God. So what is the confession part? I put these little symbols up here. So adoration, your hands are clapping. Confession, look, it's if you can see that, it's hands being washed. Cleaning up your life. Remember, clean praying. Confession is prayer that gets honest about sin. Getting right and staying clean before God is necessary to remain close to Him and effective in prayer. We are all sinners and stumble in many ways, yet we are not ready to properly serve God or ask Him much of anything until we honestly confess and turn from any unaddressed sin in our lives. And when we do, how blessed it is when our sins and iniquities are forgiven by God. And He'll forgive us. He'll hear our prayer. So confess your need for God. Confess any sin to God. You want to get clean in your prayer. So I'm going to worship God, adore Him. I'm going to confess, and then thanksgiving. That would be the T in the act. What is thanksgiving? Well, we celebrate Thanksgiving. We should be thankful every day and express thankfulness to God, gratefulness to the Lord in prayer. Thanksgiving is God-directed, humbly expressed gratitude. While praise focuses more on who God is, thanksgiving highlights what He has done or is doing. Lord, thank You for answering that prayer for the weather. Thank You for responding to this need. Thank You for hearing our requests. Just as parents delight in grateful children, we should magnify Him with thanksgiving. Knowing our heartfelt gratitude greatly pleases our Heavenly Father. Thanksgiving is priceless, yet it costs us nothing except the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That's in Hebrews. I love that verse. So do you give thanks to the Lord? And then finally, the S would be supplication. Basically, that means asking. Asking. This is a nice acrostic here. It means asking. How many times do we just ask, but we don't take time to worship God, to express our love, to confess any sin, or to give thanks to Him? I would imagine most of the time we're just asking, asking, asking. We tend to be like that. But on this prayer plan, it's the last one. Supplication or asking is asking for something from God. It means to beseech, petition, or appeal to Him to do or to provide something for yourself or for others. James 4:2 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Of course, speaking of wisdom. One important type of supplication is intercession, which carries the idea of intervening with a request on behalf of someone else. Interceding is one of the most loving things you can do for other people. As an example, last week when we gave the response time and I said, would you pray for this family this week and pray for the services this week, I think about every hand went up. I'm going to pray. That was supplication. That form of prayer is supplication. We're praying on behalf of somebody else. And friends, God answered that prayer. Several people came to faith in Christ, and the gospel is being heard time and time again. And so thank you for praying for this. Another plan is the PART plan. So if you're into acrostics, here it is, the PART plan. I like this one, just found it the last several years. So that would be praise. I'm going to praise God. So that's the clapping there. Admit to the Lord our sin. Admit to Him our need for Him. So that's the idea of the confession, washing your hands clean. And then request, Lord, I have a request for You. I have a request. And then giving thanks to the Lord. It's another thing. So just a little bit different terms, maybe a little bit different order, but it's good to have a plan. Have a plan. Use one of these plans or find another plan that you can have in talking to the Lord and bringing your requests to Him. And then finally, Jesus concludes this section of Scripture in verses 5 through 8 with this illustration about persistence. I love this verse. I love what happens here. Verse 5, "And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is on his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." All right, have you ever had someone show up to your house from somewhere, and they were unexpected, and they wanted to stay a while? You ever had that happen before? The house is a mess. You live life there, so unless you're like constantly cleaning, there's some clutter somewhere, maybe some dirt near the entryway, and you're like, oh, man, we got to clean real quick. Wait a minute. You go in there and clean real quick, or it's close to dinner time, and you're thinking, oh, wow, we weren't expecting you. Here, let me microwave something for you really quick. And it's like 5 days old. We don't have anything ready for you. What would you do? That's what's happening here. That's what's happening. Someone shows up, unannounced. And for them, when it says a long journey, that's pretty incredible. It's a bigger effort back then to travel on a long journey to get somewhere. It's not like us going down to Clifton Park or Albany or something. Even if it was that distance back then, that would be a big deal. They show up unannounced. What are we going to do? I know, I'll go to my neighbor. So my neighbor, his name is Ed. Ed, it's midnight, by the way. I didn't tell you that. It's midnight. It says it's midnight. It's dark. Everyone's in bed asleep. Ed, come on, man, wake up. I'm knocking on his door. I go around to another door or window. Ed, I need your help. We need some food. I don't know who wants dinner at midnight. Some people maybe, but we need some food. We need some bread. What would you do? By the way, if you have teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. Can't believe how fast we go through food now. I'm like, where'd that loaf of bread go? Well, this guy had some kids too, and he's in bed with them. Their living settings are a lot different. Usually just one big room for the whole family in Bible settings. What would you do? He goes to his neighbor. His neighbor shouts down. He had a two-level house. He may have been more well-to-do than some. He was in the second floor. He was in the upper level. He shouts down, what are you doing, man? I'm not going to rise. Come on down and answer the door. No, I'm not going to do that. That's the response initially. What would you do? Well, look at what this person does in the story that Jesus gives. He says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, all right, my friend's not going to help me just because we're friends right now. That's motivation, we would think, but that's not motivation enough in this situation here. No, I'm in bed with my kids asleep. We're not going to get up. Who's going to eat at midnight anyway? You know, it's your problem. You ever feel like that? You know, it's your problem. But notice the next few words. This is the only time this word is used in the entire scriptures. Yet because of his importunity. You want to underline that if you want to, or highlight it in your Bible? Can you say that with me? Importunity. Together, importunity. Only time it's used. It means intense persistence. Consistently knocking. Hey, go to sleep. I'm not getting out of bed. Leave me alone. You're my friend, but I'm not going to help you right now. He kept knocking. You'll get tired of this. He kept knocking. Jesus says, that's how you should pray. What's the man do? He wipes the sleep out of his eyes. He goes, gets all the food and stuff that he needs, and he gives it to him. I love this story. Now, look at how Jesus applies it in the next couple scriptures here. He says in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Was he asking? Yes. He says, seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And you got to love the next couple verses. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Don't you love that? What was required? Persistence. Importunity. We need more importunity in our lives and in our prayer lives. And then Jesus summarizes this passage in the next couple verses. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, we have fathers here, we have some parents here today. You know what this is like? Your child says, can I have that to eat? What do you do? It's the last Oreo. What are you going to do? Okay. You're going to give it to him. I've hesitated sometimes. We're human, right? What are you going to do then? He says, well, are you going to give him a stone instead? I'd like some food to eat, Dad. Here, son, have a rock. You don't do that. No, we don't do that. Look at the next illustration. He says, if you ask a fish, some fishermen here, Galilee, this region that they depended on fishing. Jesus ate fish often, as did his disciples. Dad, I'd like a fish. Here, son, have a snake. A serpent instead. People eat snakes, but I'm not really interested in that. He says, no, you wouldn't give that. How about this? If you ask an egg, I love eggs. I like eating eggs. You like eggs? Can I have that egg? I'd like an egg for breakfast. Here's a scorpion instead. Now, maybe you've ate a scorpion in chocolate or something, but we don't generally eat scorpions. You're not going to do that. Here, you know, just pick this up and eat this, son. No, we wouldn't give that. Now, look at how he rounds this out. If ye then, being evil, humanity, people, evil, know how to give good gifts. You already know how to give good gifts. Any parent knows how to do that unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Lord, I have a need. Lord, here's my request. Would you allow something good to happen in my life or in this situation right now? And God says, if you know how to give good things, I know how to give even better, the Holy Spirit. It's just such a big connection with the Holy Spirit and your prayers, that you would pray as God would have you to pray. So how do you ask then? How do you ask God when you pray? Do you pray with importunity? Do you pray with a great imperative that God would hear your prayer for whatever situation it is that you are praying about? Not just when we're in trouble, but do you pray? There's so much to pray for. Here's how we should pray. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we pray with confidence, but notice that phrase in the third line down, according to his, what's that word? Will. God has a perfect will for our lives, for your life, a perfect plan that we are asking God to see that unfolded in our lives. But here's the problem. James 4, verse 3, many times we ask selfishly. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Why would I hit and miss or swing and miss with a prayer? Selfish prayers. Selfish prayers. God won't hear and respond to those selfish prayers. So we need to ask for God's will to be done, not merely our will. So that's why when we pray, sometimes we'll say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. We follow that example of Jesus. Lord, here's what I would like to see happen, but you may have some other purpose for this. You may have something else that will be the response to my prayer. And like we've talked about already, God may say yes to your prayer. He may say no to your prayer. He may say maybe later to your prayer, or he may say, I have something better to your prayer. So we need to pray for God's will to be done. And then he'll reveal that as things fall out and take place in your life. How about Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24? Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Now that's not a vending machine prayer request type thing. That's not what he's talking about. We're praying according to the will of God, for the will of God to happen. And when you believe God's will in your heart can happen, that he can answer that prayer, you believe it, you have faith that he's hearing and answering that prayer, it'll happen. God will answer that prayer. Now, we don't have to wait till times of trouble. Most of us have much trouble praying when we are in little trouble. But we have little trouble praying when we're in much trouble. But we don't want to just wait to pray when we're in trouble. We need to be praying all the time. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. So have a place to pray. Have a plan to pray. And friends, we must be persistent in our prayers. Years ago, I was in Colorado. I was 18 years old in Colorado. And I was on a bus from the 1960s. 80-passenger bus, one of those really big old ones. It was a big old bus. And we were going up the side of the mountain there near Boulder, Colorado, to go see one of the mountain peaks in that scenic and beautiful countryside. And I was on this bus with these other young, aspiring preachers. And it was my first time being on that mountain, and I was looking forward to going up to that mountain peak. And we had this rickety old bus. Charles Holmser, we called him Boss. He was one of my mentors in ministry. And we were young college-age, Bible college majors we were learning how to preach, to go and share the gospel with kids and teenagers around the country. And part of the training that day, he said, we're going to go up on top of this mountain and pray up there. It was awesome. And so as we're going, the roads weave back and forth when you're going up a steep mountain. I mean, a lot taller than our mountains around here even. The bus, 1950s or 60s, stalled. And it started to roll back pretty quick at one of those big turns. And before you know it, the rear end of that bus was hanging over a cliff. The bus turned off. I mean, it was stalled. It stopped. You know, he's pumping those brakes and everything. So finally, those wheels rest against the guard post, the guardrails. And I'm glad those guardrails were there. And Charles Holmser was always kind of extravagant. I think he just stuck his foot on the brake, and he stood up and he said, one of you boys need to pray. And I heard this 19 or 20-year-old stand up and pray with such imperative, passion, and fervor that I've never heard before. I mean, he was praying like you've never heard. He stood up and he was praying about this and praying about that. And we want to see kids hear the gospel this summer. And Lord, he was just laying it all out there. And I was somewhere along the way, I was kind of looking back like, man, those guys are hanging over. I was closer to the wheel, like, I'm not hanging over. But the guy up front, he had no idea that the guardrail had stopped us. But he could look back and he saw, you know, man, these guys, the bus is going to tip, is what he was thinking. And who knows, it could have, especially if we hit it faster. But he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. He kept asking God. He prayed with such imperative. And I tell you that story to share this idea. Why don't we pray with such passion, with such imperative? I'm not talking about in public prayers, in your personal prayers, in your time alone, you're praying for your kids, your family, your work, your community, your church, the gospel, our missionaries, the Christian friends, our fellowships, our small group Bible studies. You're praying for all these different things in our lives. Do you pray with passion, or is it one of those, just bless this and bless that? And I'm guilty of that as well. Do we pray with much passion? Why or why not? Notice how he's praying for God's will to be done. We should pray for his will. We're seeking for God's plan. We're knocking on the door of opportunity. And yes, good gifts come from God. The best gifts are coming from God. And in response to your praying, here's the Holy Spirit. When you trusted Christ, he indwelt you. And now when you're praying, he's filling you with his Spirit. And he's guiding your prayers. And he's listening to your prayers when you're praying according to God's plan and purpose for your life. Friends, don't stop praying. It may seem like you're not getting through. Don't stop praying. It may seem like God is not hearing. Don't stop praying. It may be that you don't know what to do. Don't stop praying. It could be the answer is different than what you had hoped for. Don't stop praying. It may be you're having a hard time. Don't stop praying. It may be that you feel overwhelmed. Don't stop praying. It could be that these cares and concerns are too big for you. Don't stop praying. You may say, I don't have time to pray. No, make time to pray and don't stop praying. We need to have a clear plan for praying. Let's be a people of prayer. today. Let's take a moment and visit with the Lord. Thank you for your good participation today. Don't stop praying. God's answered so many prayers in our lives recently. Let's keep asking, let's keep praying, let's keep knocking, and keep seeking for God's will. Maybe you say, Pastor, in this time of response, God has challenged me to have a clear place, maybe to set aside a specific time to pause everything, even if it's just 5 minutes. I'm going to, with God's help, have a place and a time where I'll always pray in that moment and in that place. God, help me with that. Anyone say, God challenged me with that today, have a place and a time. Anybody at all? Just raise your hand. God bless you. I see a lot of hands. Good. A lot of response there. Good. How about a clear plan? Maybe you're just very general. You don't have to have a list, but it does help a lot. Maybe God helped you with understanding how to have a clear plan. With God's help, I'll have a plan. I want to have a better plan for praying. Anybody say that's true for me? All right. A lot of hands. Good. God bless you. Good. Good. Write it down if you need to. Get one of those books if you want. Then are you persistent? Maybe all of us would say, God, help me to be more persistent in prayer. Lord, help me to be more persistent in prayer. Is that you? Just raise your hand. You respond, yes, yes. Same for me. Let's be more persistent in prayer. Maybe there's a friend right now in this campus or watching online. You've not trusted Christ as your Savior. That's the first prayer. That's the first prayer that God will hear and answer if you call out to God in prayer. Why not talk to him and ask him to be your Savior right now? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for being our God. Lord, we do love you and we adore you today. We confess our need for you, for without you we could do nothing. Father, we give you thanks for hearing our prayers today and many answered prayers recently. We know that you're doing a great work in our hearts and lives and with the gospel witness that we've seen recently. Lord, we do pause and ask that you would continue to work. Continue to guide this church and each person here today, that we would be more a people of prayer, that we'd have these plans in place to certainly follow the leading of your Holy Spirit and converse with you and talk to you in prayer. We thank you for this time to meet together. We do pray that you'll bless the remainder of our day and give us safety. We look forward to meeting again and worshiping you once again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being a part of our service today. I hope you have a great rest of the afternoon. Continue to pray for the Jinks family as the conclusion of the funeral is today at the graveside. We do have choir rehearsal. We'll start about 5 minutes after, just right over here by the piano. Have a good afternoon.